Prisoners of love, master has need of thee. Who shall build the Lord's house, a magnificent sanctuary, by the people he has chosen to bear his name. Yesterday, today, and forever, his awesome power remains the same. Sir, Lord be with you. Who shall build the Lord's house, a magnificent sanctuary? Arise and be doing. Lord be with you. Oh, we shall build the Lord's house, a magnificent sanctuary. Sons with wisdom and skill, my anointing is on thee. Who will lay any hindrance when I ordain the victory? Take your hammer and my soul. Be thou courageous and strong. Only believe my word. I will perform. Arise and be doing. Lord, who shall build the Lord's house, a magnificent sanctuary? Arise and be doing. Lord, be. We shall build the Lord's house, a magnificent sanctuary. Take forth my yoke, my life's place. I anointing is on thee. So it's for easy and my life. We shall lay any hindrance when I've ordained the victory. By the people he has taken. Every stone in this place now find its perfect place. Arise and be doing. Lord, be with thee. We shall build the Lord's house, a magnificent sanctuary. Arise. We shall build the Lord's house, a magnificent sanctuary. Arise.
Amen.
Let's praise our Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's sing. There's a land where we won't have to move anymore.
Amen.
There'll be no more landlords, there'll be no more rent, there'll be no more paying electricity bills. Amen.
Amen.
Just be loving each other. Amen. Amen. And see each other face to face.
There's a land that is clear abundant.
We shall build our world in peace, so we can live in peace.
Amen. Amen.
You are Alpha and Omega. We worship you, O Lord.
Oh, no, you are
ready to
hear. Oh, let's hear you. I can't hear you. Hallelujah.
Present sense, and we do greet you this morning in Jesus' name. I don't know about you, but I feel at home. I feel just as much at home today as I felt last week. It's not location that makes the difference. It's your spiritual condition. If you want to worship Him, He'll meet you in the belly of a whale. He'll meet you on the island of Patmos. It doesn't matter where that you are. We want to greet our visitors from Sion, a friend of Brother Eddie and Sister Bibi. God bless you. Then we've got some prayer requests. Please remember Sister Julie, she wasn't well through the night. Also, Brother David's asking please for prayer for his brother Stanley. Has cancer in his lungs, is spreading very fast. While I desire the healing of his body, but I pray more for his soul than he may know the Lord. That's a little bit of desire. Sister Angels, thanking the Lord for His goodness and grace, adding one more year to her age. We won't ask her age, but the Lord's added one more. We also have prayer because Brother James is at work, and he's asking for prayer. Him and his family going to Spain this week, coming next week on Sunday. Sister Tarero couldn't come today either. Brother Mike and Douglas at work, asking for prayer for Sister Patience. She's not well. Sister Samange, Sister Patience's mother is arriving tomorrow. She's flying today, coming for around a month. So pray for her.
Amen.
So those are all things that we really do want to pray. Let's bow our heads. Father, with all the earnestness that you could bring, we wanted to approach unto thee and bring these petitions before thee. Father, first of all, to thank you, Father, that you have an access by your grace, that Father, in the name of Jesus, and Father, under the blood of the Lamb, Father, we can come boldly unto the throne of grace upon this day. Father, without a hesitation, Lord, Father, to bring our petitions before thee. Father, we're thinking of this man with cancer. Father, we're thinking, Lord, of his situation. Father, I think if it had been me, if I hadn't have known you, how would I be feeling upon this day? Father, we're asking of thee, Lord, to do something wonderful. We're asking of thee, Father, you see a situation, Lord. Surely it's an opportunity for you. Manifest yourself, Father, on behalf of this man. Father, we call his name Stanley before the Lord, before your throne of grace. We ask of thee, Lord, Father, he knows thee not. First of all, Lord, for that greatest of miracles, that Father, you may reveal yourself unto the soul of the Lord. That Father, you will show him, Lord, that you are the conqueror of death. Father, that nothing can stand before you. That your name is more powerful than anything else. We just pray. We ask of you to just move on his behalf, Lord. Our sister Judy, touch her, Lord. You pray.
Amen.
Restore her, Lord. We ask of thee, Lord, even up on this day. Even the saints that at work, saints that are here and there. Father, them that have been traveling this week, be with them. Our sister Samantha, give her traveling mercies, Father. Bring and save our sister Patience, strengthen her this time. Let your sons and daughters at work upon this day. I pray that you fellowship with them, Lord. And Father, we've come unto thee now. Father, we thank you for this place. How we dedicate this place to thee for your service, Lord. How we pray that this little building here, Lord, Father, Lord, that it would be a place that, Father, you would do your work. That you would make yourself known. Father, that this would be a place in this age that is rejecting thee, that, Father, you may be real. The place that you would have the preeminence. The place, Lord, that you would stretch forth your hand, Father, to work your mighty works, Lord, just to reveal yourself the same yesterday, today.
Amen.
Father, we dedicate ourselves to thee as we dedicate this place. And as we open up the word, Father, won't you help us upon this day to enter in, Lord, to communion and fellowship, Lord, and the mystery of your mercy and of your grace unto us to better equip us. That as we go from this place, Lord, Father, may we be better equipped to face up to the challenges of this age. May you send us forth to do your word, to do your work, Lord. Father, we're looking into thee upon this day, bringing every petition, the visitors in our gates, Father, each of our young people, children, each brother and sister. You be glorified, we pray. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Since let's open our Bibles to the book of 1 Kings chapter 8. 1 Kings chapter 8. We just want to speak a little bit, taking it from the message dedication that the prophet preached. But we wouldn't really say so much it's a dedication service. We're trying to arrange for next month to have a proper weekend of dedication service for this place. But we'd like to commit this place to the Lord today. I had invited Brother Nanda to come, but it looks like he may delay, so we're making some alternative arrangements. So please be in prayer for that. We'll have a full weekend of services. I think it'll be a blessing to really consecrate this place. Let's start reading 1 Kings chapter 8. This is Solomon at the dedication of the temple when they brought the ark. 1 Kings 8 verse 1. Then Solomon assembled the elders of Israel and all the heads of the tribes and the chief of the fathers of the children of Israel unto King Solomon in Jerusalem, that they might bring up the ark of the covenant of the Lord out of the city of David, which is Zion. So there wasn't any purpose just having a building. Imagine building a beautiful building, but if you don't have the Ark of the Covenant and the God who dwells above the Ark of the Covenant, it's just a building. Amen. So they built this beautiful place, but now they want the main attraction. They want the God of the temple. Amen. So they're bringing up the Ark of the Covenant. Verse 2, and all the men of Israel assembled themselves unto King Solomon at the feast of in the month Ethanim, which is the seventh month. And all the elders of Israel came, and the priests took up the ark. And they brought up the ark of the Lord, and the tabernacle of the congregation, and all the holy vessels that were in the tabernacle. So we're glad that all the holy vessels have gathered today. All the consecrated vessels. Even those did the priests and Levites bring up. And King Solomon and all the congregation of Israel that were assembled unto him were with him before the ark. sacrificing sheep and oxen that could not be numbered for multitude. And the priest brought in the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord into his place, into the oracle of the house, to the most holy place, even under the wings of the cherubims. For the cherubims spread forth their two wings over the place of the ark, and the cherubims covered the ark and the staves thereof. And they drew out the staves, that the end of the staves was seen out in the holy place before the oracle. And they were not seen without, and there they are until this day. And let's also open, just read about David at the dedication of the temple. Let's open, we've got a few. 1 Chronicles chapter 17. We'll read that one, we'll get the other ones later. This was the heart's desire of David, who was a man after God's own heart. 1 Chronicles 17. Let's read from this one. Now it came to pass, as David sat in his house, that David said to Nathan the prophet, "Lo, I dwell in a house of cedars, but the ark of the covenant of the Lord remains under curtains." Then Nathan said unto David, "Do all that is in thy heart, for God is with thee." And it came to pass that same night that the word of God came to Nathan, saying, "Go and tell my servant, David my servant, thus saith the Lord, thou shalt not build me a house to dwell in. For I have not dwelt in a house since the day that I brought up Israel unto this day. But I have gone from tent to tent, and from one tabernacle to another. Wheresoever I have walked with all Israel, spake I a word to any of the judges of Israel, whom I commanded to feed my people, saying, Why have you not built me a house of cedars? Now therefore thus shalt thou say unto my servant David, thus saith the Lord of hosts, I took thee from the sheep, even from following thy sheep, that thou shouldest be ruler over my people Israel. And I've been with thee whithersoever thou hast walked, and have cut off all thine enemies from before thee, and have made thee a name like the name of the great men that are on the earth. And I will ordain a place for my people Israel, and will plant them, and they shall dwell in their place, and shall be moved no more. Neither shall the children of wickedness waste them any more as in the beginning. And since the time that I commanded judges to be over my people Israel, moreover, I will subdue all thine enemies. Amen. Furthermore, I tell thee that the Lord will build thee a house."
Amen.
You may be seated, saints. I just have to speak a little about what the dedication day. Firstly, I just really wanted to say thanks to the saints. Everybody did a real tremendous job, especially this last week. There are so many saints, Brother Burgess, Brother Wilmore, Brother James, Brother Andres, so many, Brother Jose, Sister Noella Kane, Brother Eli, Brother Max Jr., Sister Nachisa, Brother Francois, Brother Mike, everybody who's come to help in this last week to move things from where they were to bring it to where it is now. I think we do see that there's a little bit more that needs to be done just to really perfect things, but it was a tremendous, tremendous effort for the saints to really get everything in order. You know, it's a real fine place. I really do think the Lord has given us. And if we polish a few things up, I think it will do us fine. As we wait to see what the Lord has in His mind for us, I really wanted to thank all of the saints, and also for the financial support of the saints. It was really tremendous. We really do appreciate the saints. We left our previous place without anything that we owed, and we left with a very, very good reputation there. And we thank the Lord for that. Now, we are trying very much to get a place in Drumcondra. Brother Will was chasing it up for us. But in the end, the reason that we didn't seem to get it was because there seems to have been a Malawian church, a denominational church, that was worshipping in that place before us. And they left such a bad testimony that the people wouldn't give us the place. And I think that's a real shame for believers. Surely the thing that you want to do as believers, you want to leave a good testimony. Now, we like our previous landlord. He really was a good friend of ours. We pray God's blessing on him and his business. And we left in such a good footing with him. So that when, I think the man, our landlord here, phoned him up, he gave us such a good reference. You know, so I really do appreciate that. And thank the saints for everything. We left the place nice and neat and tidy. It was a little bit of a jumble on Sunday after church. But God always brings order out of confusion. He always allows things to come into place just in time. So really do thank and appreciate all of the saints for all that they've done to help Brother Shep and all the saints with the sound, Brother George, and everybody who's helped on these things, Brother Blood. We It's really been a busy week, but we do thank the Lord that He's brought us to this place today. So why don't you have a look today at Dedication Day. Now, so if we're speaking about dedication, the prophet took this message. Now, there's a lot of messages, I'm sure you're like me. I've never listened to this message before. You know, I had this message, I'd seen it before, I thought I'd listened to it. But when I went, just thinking about dedication, thinking of a new place, and then I went and started to listen and to read the message, I realized, but I never read this message before. And the more that I read this message, the more that I just thought, well, you know, we can try to be smart and we can try to make up this and make up that, but sometimes it's best just to follow what the prophet said, because the prophet really preached such a wonderful message in this one of dedication. So I'm just going to follow what he says, and we'll just go through a few things which he really put under the thought of dedication. Now the prophet, starting off, he starts with David. And I really like that, because David was a man after God's own heart. Now the more that you study David, the more that you see him in the Psalms, and the more that you see his conduct with Saul, and the more you look at his life, you'll really see why God said David was a man after his own heart. Now for God to testify of you, to say, you are a man after my heart, you're a woman after my heart, I don't think there's anything greater than a person's desire. That if the Lord could look at us and say that these are people after my own heart. They're not people after their own agenda. They're not trying to make their own things. You know, they're not trying to make their own achievements. Not trying to make their own names great. But they're people after my own heart. Amen. You know, David was one of those men. And the prophet starts off in paragraph 34. And he speaks about David's desire to build a house for the Lord. You know, and you can see it with David. David was sitting there that day. He looks at his own house and he sees how God has prospered and blessed him. And he's got a house which is made out of cedars. It was really expensive. And God had given him no blessing. It was a blessing from the Lord. But David was a man who couldn't be satisfied with that. David couldn't look at his own things and put them ahead of the things of God.
Amen.
He was a man that when he looked, it's, well, the Lord's given me these things, I appreciate them. But straightway his heart went to the things of God.
Amen.
And he says, but I'm staying in this place here. You know, I'm staying in a place where, you know, I'm so comfortable. We were there when we went to Israel. We went to David's palace, and it's built right on a hill just down below the temple. It was a beautiful place. It was a real, real masterpiece of a place in its day. But David, looking at that, he couldn't be satisfied. And in his heart, there came a desire. And that was, I want to build a house for the Lord.
Amen.
You know, the prophet says that. He said, go and tell David, as the scripture read, I took you from the sheepcote. I gave you a name like the great men. I love you, David.
Amen.
And I know that your desire is right.
Amen.
I know that your ambitions are loyal.
Hallelujah.
I know that you love me.
Friends,
that's a testimony.
Amen.
For a prophet to come to you with, thus saith the Lord, and God to say, I know that your heart is right.
Amen.
I know that your ambitions are loyal.
Amen.
I know that you're faithful. The prophet says, you can see in the Psalms how David is constantly thinking about God.
Amen.
That's a man after God's own heart. Where you're constantly thinking about God. You know, it's good to think of your studies. It's good to think of your future. It's good to think of your job. It's good to think of your, you know, your pension. There's nothing wrong with all those things. But a real, real believer, the thing that satisfies you the most, that ministers to the deep that's inside of you, is for you to think of the things of God. That when you see, but Lord, you've prospered me. You've given me a family. You've given me a car. You've given me a home. The first thing that a real believer is going to think about, but what can I do for them?
Amen.
Now, what is there in his house? What can I do for his people? Because the prophet told us eternal life is when you live for other people.
Amen.
Eternal life isn't living for yourself. That's not eternal life. Because when Jesus came and expressed Zoe life to us, he lived his entire life not for himself.
Amen.
But he lived his life for others. He lived his life for the kingdom.
Amen.
Jesus was the real son of David.
Amen.
He was the fullness of what David was a shadow of.
Amen.
Because Jesus, his full desire, his only desire, says, I desire just one thing. My meat and my drink is to do the will of him that sent me.
Amen.
And to finish his work. And friends, that's a real testimony.
Amen.
And I'm sure that you want to come to the end of the way with that testimony as well.
Amen.
That when the Lord has prospered you, and you're sitting and you say, but my life is going well. I thank the Lord for the things that He's done. But straight away inside of your heart, you think about the Lord.
Amen.
What can I do for His house? What can I do for His people? What can I do to better establish His kingdom?
Amen.
And David was that kind of a man. He couldn't rest. And the prophet says, Too many of us today think of our own achievements. Something that we could do to make ourselves better. And as well, in a measure, that's okay, as long as that's not your supreme. As long as that's not your ultimate, that you're putting yourself first. He says, but David was constantly thinking of what he could do for God.
Amen.
And God is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Mm-hmm. And straight away the prophet picked it up and he says, I know your desire. I know what's inside of your heart.
Amen.
Friends, he was a man that made his mistakes outwardly, David, but he was a man whose heart was right with God.
Amen.
He was a man whose heart was perfect before the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
That he would any time lay aside his own things for the things of the kingdom.
Amen.
He laid aside his comfort. He lived in the caves. He lived in the forest for the principle of what God had called him to be. Mm-hmm. And he was willing to sacrifice whatever that he needed to do. And he says, the prophet came to him and said, your desires are correct. But David, you're a man of war. You're a man that shed blood. I can't let you do this. But I promise you that through the fruit of your loins, I'll raise up a son. And he will build your temple. Now friends, if you had to ask me, the greatest desire I have is not for me to do something for the Lord. But if the Lord would come to me and say, because of your love for me, I'm going to raise up your son.
Amen.
And your son is going to build a house for me. I'll be more grateful than if the Lord said to me, go build me a house. Because what could be greater than that reward that your son builds a house for the Lord?
Amen.
That God allows you to equip your son. Because
David,
he put everything together. He got the gold. He got the cedars of Lebanon. He got things from the north, south, east, and west. He stored everything up for Solomon. But God chose Solomon to build the temple.
Amen.
And there's a real lesson there, because Solomon was a man of peace.
Amen.
You see, to build the house of God, you need men of peace.
Amen.
You don't need men of blood and men of war. You know, some people are so quick on the sword. The smallest little thing, washa, here comes the sword. That's not how you build things up. That's how you fight the battles of the Lord. But David had been a man of blood. And God says, no, David, that's not the kind of thing. You've done your job.
Amen.
But I'm going to raise up a man of peace.
Amen.
And I'm going to give him peace from his enemies round and about, so that his heart is not divided on different things. And when his heart is settled, then he's going to build a house for me.
Amen.
The prophet says that he was Solomon, David's son. He built the tabernacle that David was going to build. Because Solomon was a man of peace and of wisdom. Friends, we need both. You need the evangelists, you need the apostles, you need the pioneers that get out there, cut down the trees, fight through the disease, scatter the people off the land, and then you need the people that come in and build after them.
Amen.
You're going to need that. So David fought the battles of the Lord, drove the Philistines out, captured the city of Jerusalem, and then God said, okay, let me send a man of peace and wisdom, Solomon. He will come and build my house.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the way that God does these things. God is the God of variety. Because Solomon was a man of peace. And God gave him wisdom when he asked him, ask whatever you want.
Amen.
Imagine Solomon, imagine your son. If God came to your son and said to him, whatever you want. I know if he came and asked my son, he would ask for all the Lego in the world, or Playmobil, whatever that it is. You know, but Solomon got to that stage of a maturity.
Amen.
And when God came to him and said, Solomon, whatever you want, you ask me what it is that you want. He says, I want just one thing.
Amen.
I want wisdom.
Amen.
To be able to lead your people.
Amen.
To be able to go in and out before your people. I desire that wisdom.
Amen.
And the prophet says, he never asked or took the great gifts that could have been given. He didn't ask for the life of his enemies. He didn't ask for the riches. He didn't ask for any of those things that he could have had. He says, but he just asked for wisdom to know how to best lead God's people. Our friends. And like I say, Solomon was young and he was immature and he made his mistakes as a man as well. But God respected that desire. God came down and said, you ask whatever you will. Because God, the prophet says on the third point, he says, God will never give it to you if your heart isn't right.
Amen.
Because he knows what you're going to ask.
Amen.
So God's not going to come to you unless your heart is perfect with
Amen.
The Lord.
Amen.
And then he knows that if he gives you the power and the authority, that you're going to use it for his glory.
Mm.
And when he came and said that to Solomon, Solomon, in the footsteps of his father, his heart was right with God.
Amen.
And that was the foundation of the temple. Then the prophet says, when in us praying ourselves, if we would just ask for that, for understanding, for something that will make better the children of God. That's what God would really receive. Now, and sometimes, like with Job, God gives you things when you pray for other people.
Amen.
Now, if you're always going before the Lord and your own agendas first and you're just always praying for yourself, you won't find much blessing in prayer.
Amen.
But when you come before the Lord and you're putting the children of God and the house of God and you're putting all these things before the Lord, Amen. You find many times God will even answer your prayers without you asking Him.
Amen.
Because that really pleases the Lord to put Amen. His things first. So then finally Solomon, now he's ordained of God to build the temple. So he needs to find material now to build up the house of the Lord. So he says, now if you notice, the material wasn't found only in Palestine. The temple, because it just wasn't there. He had to go to the rest of the known world to find these parts that would go into the temple.
Hallelujah.
So the prophet's now going to show the type of the spiritual body of Christ.
Amen.
Is that for God to build His house, to build His resting place, to build His body.
Amen.
Friends, they couldn't find all the things that they needed in that place.
Amen.
So they had to bring things from other nations and bring them together in one place so that God could build His resting place. Oh, friends, what a type and a shadow that is.
Yeah.
He says, what a beautiful application that is. God doesn't just cut His material out of the Jews only, or the white people only, or the brown, or the red, or the black, but He cuts His materials from all over the world.
Amen. Oh,
what was God's desire? He wanted a resting place.
That's right.
He wanted a house to dwell in. That's what he wanted. And this was under the shadows and types of Solomon. So he's going to build him a natural house.
Mm.
So they needed material to build this house of the Lord.
Amen.
And he says, and if while they were cutting the stone of a certain kind that was found in such a part of the country, and maybe cutting a stone from another nation. Now, it might have seemed very strange to the people, the passers-by. They saw these odd-looking stones being cut. But God in His own way was doing something.
Amen.
I see many odd looking stones here today.
Amen.
Many stones of different materials, different colors, Amen. From different nations.
Amen.
But God in His wisdom knew what He was doing.
Amen.
He could cut stones in another nation and bring them to the same place. From different nations to bring them together to build one house.
Amen.
Because He wants it to be His resting place. He wants it to build, to be His dwelling place. He says, I think He's doing the same thing today.
Amen.
The antitype of the type that was then. He's cutting them in the way that He wishes. Friends. You will see believers go through a hard time. Look at Sister Julie struggling with their health. Other people sometimes struggle with their papers. Other people struggle in their job. Some struggle in their marriage. Some struggle wherever that it is. Friends, that's all His great
categories.
He knows how to shape up the stones.
Amen.
He knows how to get off those loose edges because He needs the stones to fit together.
Amen.
And sometimes when they just come straight from the quarry, you're not going to fit together next to the other stone that you're supposed to fit together with. So He's got to shape you. He's got to take you through circumstances. He's got to take you through situations. He's got to take you through hardship and trial and sometimes tears and sorrow. Sometimes like David himself, you've got to go through times in your life that you don't know what your future is.
Uh-huh.
You don't know what comes next year, one step between you and death. But it's all God's shaping process.
Amen.
He's cutting the stones in a certain way.
Amen.
He says, He's cutting them in the way that He wishes. Now, the materials being cut in their own native land. Materials being cut in another person's native land. And finally, they were all transported, some by ox cart and so forth. Some came by sea. Some were floated down to Joppa by raft and then hauled in.
Yes.
But all together, they were coming to one place
yes,
for one purpose.
Amen.
And that was to fulfill the commandment.
Amen.
Amen. That was to fulfill a commission.
Right.
A divine commission. God had a desire. There wasn't just chance in what was taking place. This was the great intelligence of the Most High. Who knows how to move people from place to place. He knows how to shape you up. And then when you're shaped up, it says, I've got a place for you. I've got a specific purpose. You to fit together next to such and such a person. Because you and that person are going to fit together just right in my house. Friends, God is very wise.
Amen.
And He knows what you're doing. But you'll never appreciate it if you don't get in the Spirit.
Amen.
Because when you're out of the Spirit, you'll never understand what the other person's up to. You'll never understand your brother. You'll never understand your sister.
Amen.
When you're out of the Spirit, you'll say, these African people, I don't like the way they worship. Or the African people say, I don't like the way that these people worship. But when you get in the Spirit,
Amen.
You'll find everyone's there for a purpose.
Amen.
Everybody's got a part to play.
Amen.
But when you get out of the Spirit, we start looking at each other like odd stones.
Amen.
I said, that's a strange looking kind of stone. Hey, how can you put something like that into the house of God, friends? This house of God is built up on a lot of odd-looking stones. Because it's always the stones that the builders rejected.
Amen.
Those are the ones that He uses. The prophet says they cut those great cedar trees down from Lebanon. They were hewn down by the hewers. And they had the blueprints. And they brought them together from different parts of the world. So they had the blueprint. They knew what God had in His mind. And they knew in order to build this temple, we need a cedar tree of such and such a height and of such and such a girth. And maybe they bypassed a whole lot of other cedar trees because they were working according to a blueprint.
Amen.
And then they chose one out of that great forest and says, this one will fit perfectly.
Amen.
And then they cut that cedar tree down and they sent it down to Jerusalem. Everything was being built according to the blueprint.
Amen.
Ah, friends, that's what's good to get in the Spirit. When you're in the Spirit, you see God has a great blueprint.
Amen.
When you go through tough times, it's all part of the blueprint.
Amen.
It's all part of the process. When you go through times of blessing, it's all part of the same process.
Amen.
God is trying to bring things to a certain place.
Amen.
He had an image inside of Himself. The prophet says, what a spiritual application we could apply here. That's the reason I believe the way the first church was patterned, that's the way the next one should be patterned.
Amen.
Everything has to come according to the blueprint. The original believers were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. They repented and were baptized. Then they received the gift of the Holy Ghost. That's God's blueprint for a Christian life. Anything else is falling short. Anything else isn't the blueprint. Every single believer has to come the same way. That's what the prophet said. Look in 1 Kings chapter 6, verse 7. When it speaks about these various stones, it's quite a miracle if you think about it. We were there in Jerusalem under the temple, looking at those massive stones when we were there. Some of them, one of them, I think it's the 10th biggest stone in the world. And they brought it from the quarries up the other side of the mountain. And it was an amazing thing how they fitted them together. 1 Kings 6, verse 7. Look what the Bible says about when they brought all of these things together. And the house, when it was in building, was built of stone made ready before it was brought thither. That's predestination.
Amen.
That's foreknowledge. God prepared you to be here.
Amen.
God prepared me to be here.
Amen.
God prepared me to know you and you to know me, but we didn't know it.
Amen.
But all the stones were prepared even before they got to their final resting place.
Amen.
God had prepared them for this. And it says, so that there was neither hammer nor axe nor any tool of iron heard in the house while it was in building. So by the time it came to the final place, there wasn't a lot of shaping that had to be done. It was all had been fashioned in the various places that God had ordained the pieces to come together from. And that's where things had been shaped into the right shape. They knew exactly, and they just brought them down in whichever way that they did. And they found out this piece fits exactly here. And this piece fits exactly. Just like Paul said, you're building, fitly built together, joined together. So the prophet says, there wasn't one stone that had to be resawed.
Amen.
They never made a mistake with the blueprint. Friends, that's a supernatural work.
Amen.
That's not a natural work. A natural man's not going to be able to do that. You know, natural people are going to say, okay, this one doesn't quite fit, let's try this one. This one doesn't quite fit, try this. But God, when He does His things, He does it well.
Amen.
Before the world began, He knew what you should be and where you should be. He knew the calling that He called you to.
Amen.
He knew the purpose for you to fulfill. Yeah, I remember Brother Lonnie Jenkins once at a minister's meeting, he said that. He says, look, you might think to yourself, but I'm not being very productive in the things of the kingdom of God at this time. And I want to be busy, I want to be doing something for the Lord, but it seems that my life, it's just one trial and one sorrow after another. He says, Brother, that's part of the process. It says, you're still in the quarry.
Amen.
You know, there's a time in the quarry. He's got to shape you up. He's got to prepare you.
Amen.
He had to take Moses 40 years on the backside of the desert so he could shape him up in the quarry.
Amen.
And then when God has shaped you up and he's done whatever that it is that he needs to do, then he can just raise you from there and bring and fit you right in the right place.
Amen.
That's the wisdom of God.
That's right.
That's the wisdom of God. Don't run ahead of God.
Amen.
Because God knows what he's doing. If there's a deep inside of you, if God has called you for something, he'll open the way for you in due season.
Amen.
You'll find just in due season, you just submit yourself to him. Just say, Lord, like we were saying the other day with the brothers, when things go bad in your life, when trial comes, like Brother Lonnie said as well, the best thing to ask the Lord is, what are you trying to teach me?
Amen.
That's the best attitude for a believer. When things aren't going well in the home, don't blame your wife all the time. Don't blame other people. Don't blame your husband. Ask yourself.
Amen.
Go before the Lord and say, what are you trying to teach me?
Amen.
Because all things work together for the good of them who love the Lord.
Amen.
Everything that you go through, the prophet says, nothing happens to a believer by chance.
That's right.
God is behind every move.
Amen.
He says sometimes he's got to beat the gold and beat the gold. To get those impurities out of it until he can see his image.
Amen.
He can see his reflection. Then he can take that gold and use it to fashion a vessel of honor to be used for his glory. But when you're in the quarry, it's not easy. We know what the quarry is like. Like that song says, the potter knows the clay.
Amen.
How much pressure it should take. How many times around the wheel until
Amen.
There's submission to his will.
Amen.
The potter knows the clay, friends.
Right.
Yeah, and the verse of that song says, you'll be saying, Lord, isn't it about time? You'll be saying to yourself, Lord, surely it's time.
Mm.
I've been around and around and around and around and around. But friends, the potter knows the time.
Amen.
How much pressure it can take.
Amen.
And he's got something in his mind and he's fashioning something for his purpose. And friends, if he just aligns to finish his work, he knows exactly where to put that verse. Exactly where to place it. The prophets talk about masonry, about architecture. Our friends, Solomon's temple was an amazing building because it was a divine design. There was a divine art, a heavenly pattern. He says, now, many of those stones looked very odd. But there was a place in the temple for every odd, peculiar stone.
Yeah.
And sometimes we look odd to one another.
Yeah.
Somebody comes on our midst and you say, but hey, I don't understand this, brother. I don't understand this. So just give it time.
Amen.
You'll find that person, they'll just gravitate to the place that God wanted them to be. There's always an adjusting process. But friends, at certain times, you all look odd to one another.
Amen.
You may look odd to me sometimes, I may look odd to you, but you don't look odd to the Lord.
Amen.
Because his kingdom is made out of oddballs.
Amen.
He uses Amen. The most strangely shaped stone sometimes to achieve his purpose.
Amen.
Because he's not just an earthly architect. He knows what he's doing. He says, our ministries, which is a beautiful type there, an anti-type to it. We may look a little funny to someone else, and act a little funny, but remember, it's the place there for us. God is cutting out his church.
Amen.
Like we said, never judge other people by your own temperament.
Amen.
Don't try to make everybody else in your own image.
That's right.
God has a variety. He wants Amen. People to jump. He wants people to shout. He Amen. Wants people who are quiet.
Amen.
He wants people who cry easily. He wants people who hardly ever cry.
Amen.
But you can't judge other people by your image.
Amen.
By the way that God made you. Because Amen. In this building that is fashioning, this house that Brother George was singing about,
Amen.
Our friends, there's many odd looking
Amen.
Stones.
Amen.
We're all odd to one another at times, but we're just the way that he wanted us to be.
Amen.
The potential is in us to express exactly what he called us for. And he's working on us to bring us to that place.
Amen.
That he might show what he had in his mind.
Amen.
That he may bring forth this purpose that he had Amen. In whatever he's called you for. He says every little stone had its place that fitted exactly
Amen.
To it. Shows once again, friends, you can't build a temple on your own.
That's right.
That takes more than one stone. You've got to
Amen.
Fit together with others. Now, if you find you're not fitting together with others, it's not God's fault.
That's right.
And it's not the fault of those other people. It's your fault.
Amen.
You're not in the spirit, because if you are a real believer and you get in the spirit, you're definitely fit together with your brethren.
Amen.
Because God has fashioned you before the foundation
Amen.
Of the world.
Amen.
He's put the potential inside Amen. Of you to fit together with other people. So if you're always bumping against against other people. You can never agree with anybody else. Like we said the other week, God, look in the mirror. Because honestly, God doesn't make mistakes.
Amen.
God doesn't make it that you alone are the only one who's right and everybody else is wrong. Friends, sometimes we get like that.
Right.
Everybody's wrong and I'm the one that's right. You know, it's like that joke about the man driving down the motorway, yeah? And his wife phones him and says, hey, be careful on the motorway. They say there's a madman driving the wrong side down the motorway. I said, that's nothing. Where I am, all the people are driving the wrong side down the motorway. You see, it's the same thing. You know, sometimes you'll think you're the one that's right and everybody's wrong. But if everyone else is going the other way down the motorway, maybe you need to question yourself. And maybe it's you not going the right way. I think there's a real true principle in that. And that's how the prophet says it, that every one of these stones, every ministry was to fit exactly to its place. And remember, it was cut away from the place that it would be put together. God had made it so fit perfectly into its place. And friends, that's why we'll see it. It's got to be like with the masterpiece family. It only works with both sides in the promise. It can never, you can never fit together properly with your wife, with your children as a masterpiece family if you're not in the spirit.
Amen.
If you don't have the vision of the blueprint.
That's right.
If you're not in that channel, that mind that God had for you as a husband, a father, as a wife, as a child, whatever it is. It's very difficult.
Amen.
No, because when one stone doesn't fit in its place.
Amen.
It's like in your watch. When the one little gear gets out of place, it's so hard for that watch to tell the time. Because everything else is depending on everybody else. And just one person out of their position, one person out of the spirit can hinder a whole lot of things. Because it has such a knock-on effect. That's why it's so very important that you be in the spirit of the great architect, of the composer, because he knows what it's doing. He says, yes, it's got its place. It fits in the body. It goes to its place. For the great architect, Christ, is preparing it now.
Amen.
That's why, friends, all this respect to work that God has done in somebody else's life.
Amen.
Never underestimate the work that God has done in somebody else's life. Don't just be, look at the outward veil, but inside of somebody. If somebody is a believer, God has been doing very personal work.
Amen.
It may have been over a long period of time, but He knows what He's doing. He knows what He's fashioning. He knows the end result that He wants to bring forth. Now, the prophet then changes because with all this material, you've got the right man, you've got Solomon, you've got David before him, a man after God's own heart. You've got all the material that's needed now to build this resting place of the Most High, this tabernacle of the Most High. But he says, now, in building down there, there was one stone that was actually too odd to fool with. So the builders rejected it. There was a certain stone that they rejected, friends. And that was the chief cornerstone. They started building. They had zeal. They had all the right material. But friends, they missed out the most important thing, which was Christ, the chief cornerstone. So they started to build. And the prophet says it was the builders who should have known different. But come to find out, they built the building so high. But they missed the stone. And the entire building needs to rest upon the stone. So they ran ahead and they started to build. And they said, we don't need this kind of a stone. And they threw it out. Friends, you've got to be very, very careful. Because in the things of the kingdom, you've got to do these things lawfully. Because it's not just him who runs. You've got to run lawfully. You've got to start the right way. He says it was the chief cornerstone that the builders rejected. Jesus spoke about it. Where the rest of the building rested upon. Remember when Mary and Joseph left Jerusalem? And didn't realize they'd gone quite a distance, 3 days' journey without Jesus.
Amen.
That left the most important part out. And that you backtrack now and go and say, hey, guys, we've gone far. We've gone on a journey, but we've left out the most important piece. And friends, as believers, let's be careful of that.
Amen.
You can try to build your house on a lot of other things. But unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain.
Amen.
Unless Christ is the chief cornerstone. And who is Christ? He's the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
He's the anointed word. That's who Christ is. He's revealed truth, the prophet will show us. That unless you're building on that,
amen,
that's got to be the cornerstone of all that you do. You can't use your own zeal, your own effort, your own intelligence, your own programs, your own method of doing things. We all tried that at times.
Amen.
David tried to do a service for the Lord and it wasn't his will. And it caused the death of an innocent man.
Right.
And it caused the whole program to come into confusion. But he was a real man of God because he recognized the error of his ways. He humbled himself before the Lord, went and inquired of the prophet. And then the prophet showed him the chief cornerstone once again. Showed him how the thing should be built.
Amen.
That's an important part that he's getting to. He says, in the building today of the spiritual house that God worships in, we find out there's something wrong. We've tried to build it out of man-made material. Friends, you can't build a spiritual house out of man-made material.
Amen.
You can't build yourself as a believer on education.
Amen.
On just knowledge and learning the message. And the prophet said those things are fine. But there's got to be the chief cornerstone.
Amen.
There's got to be the spiritual experience, the spiritual revelation of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Personally to your own soul.
Amen.
The prophet said it's the revelation of Jesus Christ to you that brings the new birth.
Amen.
There's got to be a spiritual foundation.
Amen.
You've got to start off the right way. Sometimes you find believers looking American. We're hoping Brother Barry would be here today. He couldn't come. He was sending apologies. Sorry, I meant to notify Brother Barry Coffey. But imagine if we had asked him what happened in America. Some believers built for 35 years. Yeah, in the message. And then they leave the message.
Amen.
You know, they built for 35 years, but they never had the cornerstone.
Amen.
They never had the most important part, which was the new birth.
Amen.
Which was the baptism of the Holy Ghost in the soul of a person. Without that, you can't go anywhere.
Amen.
The prophet says, without the revelation of Jesus Christ, you cannot get to first base.
Amen.
But people build and they build and they build and they build. But friends, you've got to build on the right foundation. You've got to build with the right cornerstone. There's got to be the spiritual experience between your soul and Jesus Christ. Without that, there's no starting point. And all of your building's going to be in vain. You're going to find when the storm comes, your building ain't going to stand because all the rest of the stones were resting upon the cornerstone.
Amen.
And if you ask a believer who's been a believer any space of time, what is it that enabled you to go through the waves and the storms, to weather whatever that it was inside of your life? Any genuine believer will never point to themselves.
Amen.
Oh, amen. Say the anchor holds. All the ship is better. It's the anchor that holds. It's Christ is the anchor.
Amen.
When they asked the prophet, did you keep your religion when your wife died? He says, no, my religion kept me.
Amen.
You don't keep your religion. Your religion must keep you.
Amen.
And friends, if trials come and your religion doesn't keep you, get rid of that religion.
Amen.
That's not the right religion. You may have been building for years and years and years, but if that religion doesn't hold you, there's something wrong.
Amen.
There's something wrong.
Amen.
And that's what they did. They started to build this temple, but they found the chief cornerstone. We don't need a stone like this. Friends, because a new birth is a messy thing.
That's right.
It's not a thing that an intellectual, educated sort of person is going to find very appealing. The new birth, when you've got to be broken and confess your sins and maybe weep before the Lord. Go and make right with people that you've done wrong. Make restitution for the evil that you've done. When you've got to testify against yourself. Just say, I'm guilty, I'm evil, I'm wrong. I should never have done these things inside of my life. It's not popular, friend.
Amen.
In Laodicea, it's not popular. This is people's rights. People want to build this nice, you know, everything's so perfectly symmetrical. You know, it mustn't be much effort, mustn't be much sweat. Let's use all the man-made apparatus that we can. God doesn't build like that.
Amen.
Friends, in this building, you're going to roll up your sleeves.
Right.
In this building, you've got to get in prayer.
Amen.
You've got to be seeking the Lord. You've got to lay aside food and drink at certain times.
Right.
You've got to get up early in the morning sometimes. You've got to sleep late at night.
Amen.
You've got to have certain seasons that you deprive yourself. So that he can, the quickening power can quicken you once again in the process of building. This isn't an easy thing, friends. God is building a spiritual house. God is building something, but it's going to be contrary to your natural nature. This outward nature is not going to cooperate with the building of the spiritual house. So sometimes you've got to put your foot upon the neck of your first Adam that you were born in. You've got to subdue it. Bring it under authority. So that he can continue to build his house.
Amen.
My friends, it's got to be the right starting point. You've got to have this chief cornerstone, Christ, in your life.
Amen.
He's got to be in your soul. You're not going to make it if Christ is not in your soul.
Amen.
If Christ is just in your intellect, you're not going to make it.
Amen.
As we get closer to the squeeze, as it comes more and more pressure, as this gross darkness covers the earth, you're not going to make it, friend.
Amen.
It's not by power.
Amen.
It's not by might. It's not him who runs. It's not him who runs, but it's by my spirit. That's the chief cornerstone.
Amen.
And as any believer, you've got to start there.
Amen.
Don't try to go any further until you've got that right.
Amen.
Jacob tried to run here and run there and did all these different things. But God one day had to put him in a corner.
Hallelujah.
And then something changed there.
Amen.
And then he met the chief cornerstone. Amen. Now God could build his house upon that man.
Amen.
Now God could establish something as Israel.
Amen.
Not as Jacob anymore. But friends, we've got to make sure we don't reject this cornerstone. Because many places have rejected this chief cornerstone.
Amen.
It's just knowledge, 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 knowledge of the message.
Hallelujah.
It's never going to give you power in the time of trial. Knowledge isn't just going to help you. All your knowledge disappears when the trial comes.
Amen.
There's got to be something spiritual that kicks in when you can't kick it anymore.
Amen.
There's got to be a certain quickening that comes, like when the prophet was about to give up and say, if that's the way that he is, I won't serve him anymore. He says, and then something came from the inside of the inside. And something said, but who am I?
Amen.
Who gave me this one?
Hallelujah.
Who gave me this child? The Lord gave, the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That's the foundation that we need, friends. And as we establish this house, the spiritual body, in this new location, let's never forget that. Let's never forget the first principles of the kingdom of God. You've got to repent. Then you've got to be baptized in the name of the chief cornerstone. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Then he promised he'll do something for you. He will baptize you into the house. But he's got to do it, friends. You can't do it yourself. It's not in our power, these things. It's not in our wisdom. Your sins will find you out down the way, as sure as the world. The prophet says, we find out when it came down to the actual building. This is without the chief cornerstone. All we've got is mortar and rock. You can build a temple for the Lord. And in the end, all you've got is the stones and you've got mortar between the stones. It's just a building. Without a spiritual cornerstone, friends, that building's not going to stand. God ain't going to come and dwell in that building because that's not according to the heavenly pattern. That's not according to the blueprint. He says, and the building did not go on. They rejected the way, the stone that God had so prepared for it. Now we find that in the next chapter, when the builders found out they were wrong, they had all the other stones there, but the reason they couldn't get them together was there was one hole left. They had all these stones, but they were saying, we can't seem to fit this together. You know, I've got a wife, I've got my children, I'm the husband in the home, but I can't seem to build this into something. Because there was one stone missing. The chief cornerstone. There was one stone that needed to fit together, and the rest of the stones would be seated on that stone. And would bind those stones together. It's such an important principle that he's saying there. He says, what is this chief cornerstone? Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And he said, blessed art thou, Simon. Flesh and blood never revealed this to you. Friends, any revelation you have of the message that somebody taught you, it's not going to help you.
Amen.
It's good, but it's not going to help you.
Right.
It's got to be a spiritual revelation.
Amen.
There's got to be some supernatural something that takes place to take that from being just a knowledge to quicken it to become a revelation.
Amen.
And once that happens, that becomes part of your experience. You'll never forget that.
Amen.
And in the time of trial, in the time when you don't know what to say, when the enemy is coming against you like he did with Jesus in the wilderness, that spiritual something that God has placed in you becomes the sword of the Spirit.
Amen.
God quickens that now. That becomes the shield of faith. That becomes the sword of the Spirit. That becomes the very thing that helps you to overcome.
Amen.
That's the only thing that will stand is the spiritual revelation of Jesus Christ. He says, blessed are you, Simon, upon this rock.
Amen.
Amen.
the spiritual revelation of the Word of God, which He is the Word. I will build my church and the gates of hell will never prevail against it. Now friends, why build and build and build? And then the enemy comes and overcomes. Why not do it right from the beginning? Why not start properly? Why not search yourself before the Lord? Why not say, Lord, I really want this to be done the right way. Show me, Lord. And God will start dealing with you. He'll start to show you attitudes that you need to repent of. Like the prophet says, me and my wife, she got down there by the altar in the house and we confessed every negative thought. Friends, some people are so critical in their thinking. Some saints are so critical in the way that they do their things. Critical spirits are not of God.
Amen.
God is not a critic.
Amen.
Love believes all things, hopes all things, suffers all things. It's exactly the opposite. Friends, you need to lay that as a burnt offering upon the altar and say, Lord, consume this critical spirit. Consume this negative spirit that I have. Because it's difficult for God to build on anything else, friends. Because God doesn't want to establish His things upon something like that. The prophet says, that's the real church.
Amen.
Not of mortar, brick, stone, and so forth, which is perishable. But the real church is built upon the revelation of the Word and the will of God.
Amen.
Oh, friends, that's the most important thing. You may know God's Word, but what is His will? What is His will for your life? Now, you may decide, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that, I'm going to stop doing this, stop doing that. That's fine, but what is God's will?
Amen.
Remember the prophet that time when they wanted to tax him and so forth, and he came to his wife and said, honey, clean up the kids, put them in the car, we're heading out of here. And his wife said, did you pray?
Amen.
And he says, it's a good thing to have a godly
wife.
Because he had made up his mind, I've had enough of this.
Yeah.
Then she said, but surely there's the will of God here. Yeah. That may be your will, but what is the will of God?
Yeah.
And friends, that's the spiritual something that we need.
Yeah.
Because once we do that, the prophet goes on to say, now once they recognize their mistake, and they said, let's confine the stone which that we've rejected.
Amen.
He says, they sent to Joppa, and they said, another Lord that needs to come. They looked along the way, and then they found it was right there. It wasn't far away.
Amen.
Just in the place where they had rejected it. And he says, in the chief cornerstone, as soon as the builders accepted that rejected stone, then the building started to go up.
Amen.
Now they could start to build in power once again. Now once you get that cornerstone right once again, see how quickly you start to be established once again.
Amen.
Once you realize your mistake and you give Him His preeminency, put Him into the center of all that you do, give Him the chief cornerstone position, you can now start to build in power once again.
Amen.
And that's when now all of a sudden when they placed that stone there, they found it fitted. Oh, this is what was needed to fill up this gap. Friends, sometimes in our experience, you feel it inside of yourself. There's a gap. No, you feel it. You know there's something inside of me that needs to be filled. Blessed are you who hunger and thirst for righteousness.
Amen.
Don't fill it with anything else. The promise is that holy thirst. You have no right to try to quench that holy thirst with anything else.
Amen.
It's only the living waters.
Amen.
He's the only one who can quench that thirst because He's the one that ordained that deep inside of you. And if there's a deep inside of you that's thirsting for a deep somewhere else, friends, there's a deep that's going to be somewhere. You just yield yourself. You just follow that leadership of His. You just lay aside all the secondary things of life for a season and seek His face and see how God will lead you to the satisfaction of that deep. But they could see there's a gap here in the building. And now when they found that one stone and they filled it in, things started to move now. Now they started to build in power once again. Now the building started to be established. They could see that there was a difference. Then he says, did you notice? But after the building was completed, it was still an empty building. So the Lord helped them to build. The Lord quickened them in building. They put everything in the right place. But it still wasn't the dwelling place of Messiah. Our friends, it's the same as us.
Hallelujah.
You know, the Lord will deal with you and deal with you. And you just give Him His preeminence and He shapes you and He fits this in your life and fits that and He's doing this, that and the other. What's He trying to do? He's fashioning you into a dwelling place.
Amen.
That's what He wants. He says the building was completed, but it was still an empty building. There was nothing in it but furniture. There were a lot of consecrated vessels. There was the laver, There was the brazen altar. There was the altar of incense. There was the table of showbread. There were the cherubim. There were so many different things that had been made according to a divine fashion. That the Holy Ghost in Bezalel, and then they had fashioned the things the way that God wanted them to be. But friends, the work wasn't yet complete. There had to be a dedication day. There had to be a day when the God who had started the work, the God who had brought all the things together, the God who had fashioned all these pieces together so they could fit just in their position, the God who had given the vision and then given the skill to bring forth the vision, the golden candlestick and all of the furniture in this temple, that would come a time that the God of the temple accepted the work that had been done. There had to be a time. And it's the same as us, friends. God can help us to build in power. God can help us to shape things up. God can help us and even lead us and guide us and quicken us to put things in different positions. Exactly the way that God wants it to be. But we as believers can never be satisfied just with that. We can never just be satisfied that the Lord's helping us here and helping us there. We want the God of the temple. We want the one who started the work. We want the Alpha to come and show that he's the leader. We want him to come and vindicate that this is indeed according to the vision that he had. Amen. It's got to be, friends.
That's right.
And that's what the bride's waiting for, isn't it?
Amen.
That's what we want. Friends, there's a deep inside of us that is never just going to be satisfied with coming here on a Sunday and coming on a Wednesday, coming on a Friday, and God helping us and God speaking. That's wonderful, but God's preparing us for something.
Amen.
There's got to be a climax to these things.
Amen.
There's got to be a capping stone, a capping time. And these are the things of God. It's like in your experience, if God is shaping up and cleaning you from your sin and sanctifying you from things that are wrong inside of your life, you can't just be satisfied with that.
Amen.
There's got to be a time he comes and tabernacles himself in you.
Amen.
There's got to be a time that he himself comes and puts you into service.
Amen.
And then now you see and you understand what all of those times and all of those things that he was doing with you really meant.
Mm.
You see the divine purpose. And Solomon and that they built this magnificent temple. And God quickened them. And God helped them. And God was in everything that was done. Once they got that chief cornerstone in place, and then it came to 1 Kings chapter 8, where we read. Then it came to the day of dedication. It came to the time they wanted to dedicate that building to the Lord. Listen to what he says. After the building was complete, it was still an empty building. Solomon had done that all that he could do. There comes a time that you've done all that you can.
Amen.
But you've done all these things at his command, like a legend.
Amen.
Lord, let it be known that thou art God. And I've done these things at your command. You've taken those stones, those 12 stones that you've broken down, and you've placed them exactly in the position that the Lord wanted them to be placed. And then you pray. And you say, Lord, I've done all that I can do.
Amen.
And if that work has been done the way that God wants it to be done, there comes a dedication.
Amen.
There comes a day that God vindicates. This is my work.
Amen.
It has to be like that. The prophet says he did all that he could do. Now, the great day of dedication came. When they were going to dedicate this building for worshippers to worship something. Now, without something there to worship, the building would have been in vain. That's why you never want this place to come to a place that there's no quickening in the worship.
Yeah.
That there's no presence of God. We want it to be deeper and deeper because the whole purpose of all of this. We need Him here for us to worship Him. What's the possible purpose of us all coming from north, south, east and west? And we get here and the main one we want to worship is not here.
Amen.
And that's every person's responsibility.
Amen.
That's not the responsibility of one person. Every single one of us has a personal responsibility.
Amen.
In our own walk, in our own consecration, in our own prayer to say, Lord, when we get to that place, when the stones are fitted together, we want you to be.
Amen.
We want to worship you. Because the Father is seeking such.
Amen.
He doesn't just want worshippers, but he wants them that worship in spirit and in truth.
Amen.
That's what he's seeking. That's what he's thirsting for. The prophet says the rejected king, he's thirsting.
Amen.
for that drink of Pentecostal worship. Yeah. That real worship that's from the soul of a person. That's something that satisfies him. That when he comes down to be worshipped in the midst of his people, our friends, let's give him the worship. Let's not hold anything back. Why hold it back for tomorrow so you can use that strength at work or at college? Rather use that strength for him. College will pass away. Your job will pass away. But this which we're establishing will never pass away. Because it never had a beginning and it will never have an end. And we're just finding our place in this system that God has established. This house that is building in this day. He says something has to be there to worship. Otherwise the building has all been in vain. But the building was now ready for dedication.
Amen.
And that's why I said that will be a good thing for us even as we perfect the outward of this building. You put a platform and you know, we put curtains at the back, whatever the other things that need to be done. But friends, as we look forward to dedication meetings, wouldn't it be good if we could make sure everyone's prepared for dedication?
Amen.
Not just the building, but that we are prepared.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Because without us, this building could just be another hair salon.
Amen.
Without him, this building is nothing but a gathering of people. So if we're looking to have dedication meetings, let's prepare ourselves.
Amen.
Let's prepare ourselves that it may be something that he does for us.
Amen.
Something that he does that we'll never forget.
Amen.
And friends, he'll do it if we prepare ourselves. Then the prophet speaks of the dedication day. He says, when the Levites and the priests with thousands of trumpets blasted the sky, lamb after lamb dying for the sacrifice of sin, the Levites positionally took their place. And they went and they got their poles and ran them through the rings of the ark. And they picked it up from the tabernacle, the tent. And they started marching and the trumpet sounded, the psalteries were playing. The smoke was going up from the sacrifice that was being sacrificed before Jehovah. And down through the building of dedication they came. Till they brought it to its resting place.
Amen.
There was a destination. There was a certain place, there was an objective that all of this activity and all of these things were leading to was for them to bring the Ark of the Covenant, which is the anointed word, which is his dwelling place, and to place it in exactly the place that he established it for today. And that's what he was waiting for. He says, and it fitted down. And when it fitted down and finally came to its resting place, the Ark, the Bible says, the Lord descended down upon the place till it filled the entire temple. Our friends, that's all that he was waiting for. And that's what we're waiting for as well.
Amen.
Friends, don't you long for that?
Amen.
You've got to have those climaxes in your experience.
Amen.
You can only go for so long, you know, pushing and pushing yourself and following his leadership. There's got to come a time there's a response.
Amen.
There's got to come a time that he does something for you. There's got to come a time that he makes it all real. He says, the pillar of fire came down in there with such great glory of God till the ministers couldn't minister anymore because of the glory of God. That's the scripture we read earlier. It came to a time now where it was no longer the human instrumentality that was in control. It was no longer people in charge of what was taking place. He had come on the scene. He was in control of what was taking place. Our friends, those are the most glorious times. That's when you lay aside human program, you lay aside your watch, you lay aside anything else. The promise is you don't worry about your pot roast that's on the stove, let it burn. He says that those kind of times when he comes, you give him the presence. He says that's when it found its final resting place under that covenant. The Shekinah glory, the capping stone, not the cornerstone. So they got the cornerstone in place. And that quickened them to build. Then once they got it all in order, then the capstone had to go.
Amen.
Oh, friends, that's the ministry of the bride. That's the purpose that we hear.
Amen.
That's the purpose that this message came to us for.
Amen.
Was to fashion and prepare us for that.
Amen.
For the capstone himself. He's manifest himself in part, and wouldn't you long to see the fullness?
Amen.
He's shown his glory in measure. Wouldn't you desire a far greater expression of his glory in the midst of his people, for him to come and dwell in the midst of his people.
Amen.
This coming to a close, he says, all other stones who have none effect until then.
Amen.
But this main stone came in the headstone, took its place positionally for its resting place for that generation. And God has granted us mercy, friends.
Amen.
We are the final resting place in the final age. There's no more resting place for him. We are his final resting place. Beyond this, there's no resting place. In Luther's day, there was a resting place. In Wesley's day, there was a resting place. At Azusa Street, he found a resting place, but we are his final resting place. With this, it's all over. That's why he says, under their messenger, the bride becomes the final voice to the final age. That's what we are. We're the final voice to this dying age. We become the final voice. It says the glory of God filled the place where they were sitting. And there the Shekinah came upon the whole building. And the glory was so great. And then quickens and he says, okay, that was all the antitype. That was just a shadow. But imagine the glory of the shadow. Imagine how we are the type. We are the anti-type of that type. He says, just like the sacrifice of the lambs at that dedication, the real lamb came for sacrifice. And once his sacrifice was made, Hebrews 10:5, but a body has thou prepared. Showing that God was going to dwell in a body. Friends, and I'm so glad to be associated with that.
Amen.
I'm so glad that there's different stones taken from different places and different colors and natures and temperaments. But it all makes one dwelling place of the Most High. And that's what he brought us together for. He says, finally, when this body, Jesus, had been made a sacrifice, the correct lamb had been sacrificed, then God came to his own body, which was his bride. There were 120 temples that God had created, and they were ready for dedication.
Amen.
Hey. So once the perfect sacrifice was made, God's heart's desire could be fulfilled.
Amen.
He could now come and dwell in his royal resting place, which is his bride.
Amen.
That's where he wants to dwell. He says they got all of the unbelief beaten out of them, and they gathered in the upper room and waited for 10 days for dedication service. Then when they were completely surrendered, God came down again in the Shekinah glory and filled all the house where they were sitting. Like the ark dropping into its proper sockets in the temple for the message of that day, God dropped back into his proper channel once again. Our friends, don't you love it when he drops into the channel? Don't you love it when you move beyond yourself? When you're praying and it's just you praying. And then he comes down.
Amen.
And he gets into the chapel.
Amen.
It's going to be a different kind of prayer. When you're speaking to somebody and it's just you trying to help somebody.
Amen.
But then he comes down and he drops into the chapel.
Amen.
That's what makes all the difference.
Amen.
When the worship starts off in the morning and people are thinking of this, that, and that, then he starts coming down.
Amen.
And then the worship starts getting into the proper kind of a channel. Friends, that's what he desires to do.
Amen.
That's the whole purpose that he's gathered us together. He says, he dropped into his place for the last day. The prophet Joel said, it'll come to pass in the last days, I'll pour out my Shekinah upon all flesh. What a promise. I'll pour my spirit out upon all flesh. And my sons and my daughters shall prophesy. Our friends, that's what he's building you up for. That's what he wants to do. God came to his resting place where he finds rest. Not in a building, but in the hearts of his people.
Amen.
That's where he finds rest. So friends, we sort of appreciate all the work that's been put in this building. But friends, we need to put all the work into this building. All the preparation we can make here to make things pleasing to him and pleasing to one another. Friends, we want the real preparation to be there. And once the preparation's been made in a certain way, then he looks down and says, that's good. Becomes a dedication day.
Amen.
And he comes down and he dwells in his final resting place. So that's his desire. Then he finishes. He says what he did on the day of Pentecost. He filled 120 temples up there with himself. The Shekinah glory broke through upon them. And what Nimrod failed to do, building a temple where every man spoke contrary to what he could understand, God came down and with one Galilean language, Let every man understand. Ah, friends, what a unity. Oneness. They all spoke the same thing. They all understood one another. What in that atmosphere when the Shekinah came down? Ah, friends, you don't have problems in that kind of thing. He says, an achievement, not what man had done, but what God did himself.
Amen.
Amen.
Our friends, when I look here and I see believers sitting here, this is the achievement of what God has done.
Amen.
You are the personal work of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
The Bible says we are his workmanship.
Amen.
Prepared unto good works.
Amen.
That's what we are. He is the one who started this work. He paid the price. He shed his blood.
Amen.
He sent forth his ministering into the sharp instruments to shape us. His Spirit has been dealing with us and working with us. Don't ever underestimate your brother and sister.
Amen.
Don't ever look down upon anybody else.
Amen.
They might be having a hard time, but that's God's handiwork.
Amen.
That's God's masterpiece that he's working upon. And all that person needs is once the shaping's done, they move into a certain position, fit right into the socket they were ordained to fit into like the ark. Then watch and see how the Shekinah will come down.
Amen.
And God will show who's his. The prophet says it wasn't man's work. It was what God did himself. He says it's silly to the people. They don't get it. They were born not to get it, so they won't get it. The Bible says so. But God always fills his temple.
Amen.
The end result of any work that God has started, unless you're rebellious, unless you're stubborn, unless you shorten your days if you're a son or daughter of God, but the end result of any God designed work, any God ordained work, he's going to fill his temple. Friends, he's going to fill his temple as sure as the world. He's going to fill his people as sure as the world. He's going to bring his Shekinah down as sure as the world. But all he's waiting for his people to do is to dedicate themselves.
Amen.
To dedicate themselves and come to that one great dedication day. You can have it as an individual. You can have it on the backside of the desert. You can have it like the prophet did and kneeling in his coal shed. You can have it wherever you desire. But friends, there's a coronation day for the bride. There's a coronation day for his people if he's gathered us together under a divine program. And that's what we need to unite together. So then the prophet announced the dedication of the church. He finishes. He asks the people to stand. And he says, I think the thing for this church to do this morning,
amen,
in respect of all that has been done, as we offer God the building for service, let's offer ourselves also.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
God hasn't dwelt in a building made of stones.
Amen.
But how beautiful we make it on the outside if you're not right on the inside.
Amen.
We're not going to have a dedication day.
Amen.
We're not going to have him breaking forth in the ways that you want him to break forth.
Mm.
Oh, friends, but if you and I on the inside,
amen,
could put just as much diligence as we do on the outside and prepare ourselves. Oh, friends, you would hear the sound of an abundance of rain.
Yes.
He's going to do something. Let's stand. Let's hear the prophet. Let's do it as well. He says, let us stand just a minute now. Then he says, each in your own way, in the respective way that you like to pray. I love the way the prophet is. Somebody used to give me a hard time about that, saying, it's not right for everyone to pray at the same time. Hey, and I used to always take these kind of quotes and say, the prophet used to make people do it all the time. When it was a prayer line, he'd say, put your hands on one another, pray for one another. Then you'd tell everyone, blah, 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 praying. That's how it was in the day of Pentecost.
Amen.
The prophet says, each of you in your own way, in the respective way that you like to pray, I rededicate myself to make the prophet, to the service of God. I want each of you to do the same. As we dedicate this building to God, let's dedicate ourselves. Friends, let's come to a time of prayer. You dedicate yourself. Let's dedicate this place. Let's dedicate one another. I'm going to lay every negative thought here upon the altar. You do the same. Whichever way that God leads us and guides us as we look to some dedication meetings. Let's seek the Lord. Let's pray. Father, we're coming unto thee upon this day.
day. Lord, we come to your living for the exalted faith. I pray, Lord, in the name of the living Father to him. Father, it was your living Father that the love of the living Father to him. Pray, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Father,
is anybody out in the congregation today and you want to raise your hand and say, I want to dedicate myself to him. I want to rededicate myself to the Lord. You might have been through this, that, and the other. That's okay. That's all part of the process. That's all part of the quarry. But you say, Lord, I've been on the potter's wheel a long time. I want to come off now, Lord. Father, finish the work inside of me. I just want to be a vessel of honor. I just want to be filled afresh with your Shekinah, Lord. I just want to be a vessel of honor set aside to the master's use. If you want to have an experience with Christ, if you want to really know him, and you're saying, Jesus, I'm putting my hand up to you, because Lord, I don't want to build upon sinking sand. Oh Jesus, I want to build upon the rock. I want to build upon this rock, because the gates of hell cannot prevail against the church that is built upon the spiritual revelation of Jesus Christ. Oh, put up your hand and say, Jesus, reveal yourself unto me in a real way, in a spiritual way, Lord. And those sacred sands, and even, Lord, know that, Father, time may pass, fleeting that it may be, and the enemy may assail, but Lord, there will be something put in my experience at this time, that time, oh Lord, that, Father, the devil, all demons in hell cannot never take away. Oh, if you're seeking the new birth, if you're seeking the baptism of your spirit, if you're seeking something, why don't you raise your hand to the Lord? Because the deep that's inside of you, he has a deep that must be ministered to, that deep that's inside of you. But don't let anything else satisfy you. Never satisfy that holy thirst with the things of this life. Oh, Father, when you get unto me upon this day, won't you just speak unto the people, Lord, and ask and pray, Lord, deep inside of our souls, because you know the things that we need, Lord. Father, them that are needing salvation, Jesus, you are the only one that can give them salvation, Lord. Break through every unbelief and ask in prayer upon this day. Break through every working, every anointing of the enemy, Lord. Just reveal yourself unto the souls of people that, Jesus, they need to know you in the forgiveness of their sin, Lord. Father, there's people that need bonds to be broken upon this day. There's people that need to hear the jubilee trumpet at this time, Lord. Won't you, Lord, just visit them, Lord, by your grace, Lord. Break it every fit and bond of the evil one and bring, Lord. Let that shadow of darkness move back, Lord, upon this day. And may they look away unto Jesus upon this day. May they see you, Lord Jesus, upon the throne, Lord. May you visit them, Lord, and ask and pray to bring salvation into Father, make yourself real, make yourself real, Lord. For the men that are rededicating themselves to be this day, we just want to bring them up to be real at this time. Father, thou seest and thou knowest, Lord. Father, what each ship has been through, Lord. Thou seest this voyage of life, thou seest the storms of life, thou seest these things that are saved, Lord. I'm just asking of thee, Lord, even as your hearts would be ready to rededicate themselves, Lord. I just pray that you should find your new Lord. I just pray that you restore the Father the joy of salvation. To him that need the joy of salvation to be restored once again, Lord. Father, this healing that's needed upon this day. Father, pray through you and ask and pray. Could you fly by Jesus' name upon this day? Spirits of infirmity, spirits of sickness, spirits of disease. Every demon power, Lord, every evil spirit, Lord. Father, we bind in the name of Jesus. We send forth, Lord, your word of grace, your word of healing, Lord. Let the angels beat across your judgment, Lord. You quicken the wind, you guide, Lord. Break every fetter, break every bond, Lord. Bring to your thoughts and thoughts of working, Lord. Just establish yourself in your glory, Lord, and every experience, Lord. And our children, Lord, our young people, Lord, our husbands and our wives, Lord, each other, brother, each other, sister. Each single brother, each single sister, Lord. You are the chief cornerstone, Jesus. Let us never build upon anything else, Lord. Just make it real to us once again, Lord. May we always rest in thee. May we always rest upon thee, Lord. May you be glorified indeed, Father, in the lives of your people. We ask and pray, Lord. Let intellect pass away, Lord. Let formality pass away at this time, Lord. Father, let spiritual reality, Lord. Let spiritual revelation, Father, take its place, Lord. humble soul. Break in upon me, my Lord, as you prepare ourselves for the dedication of souls. Father, we dedicate ourselves unto you. Want you lead us and guide us, Lord. We just want to know you better, Lord. We just want you to be glorified in a great way that we still be able to do. Father, we just want all the praise, the only glory to be given unto you. Let your name be given to me at this time. Let your name be given to me, Lord. Upon this day, let you consecrate yourselves up unto the Lord. That's right, Lord. We come in the name of you, Jesus Christ, by the way of your precious blood. Father, to bring it all before you, Lord, upon this day, just pray that you be glorified, Lord. Oh, Father, as we look unto the Lord, this awesome musician is to come for time of worship. Let's worship him, saints. He's looking for worship.
Amen.
He's looking for genuine worship. Saints, don't worry about thinking of tomorrow. Don't worry about thinking of people next to you. Let's set our affections on things of above. Let's turn our eyes upon Jesus. Let's look full into his wonderful face, and the things of this world will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory. Because let's come to time for worship. Let's see. He knows my name, he knows my name.
Renounce the name of
Shit is bad. Oh, it's better.
master of living.
Amen.
Aren't you glad you know the master of living?
Amen. Ah,
friends, I'd rather know him than old Gamma, that's for sure. I'd rather know him than all the great men of the earth.
Amen.
Because they'll all pass away, but he'll never pass away.
Amen.
If he holds your hand, he's going to hold your hand to the end.
Amen.
He says, though you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, fear no evil, because
Amen.
He'll be with you.
Amen.
It doesn't matter where you are, it doesn't matter what takes place. He's a friend who sticks closer than a brother. Let's sing that song, and we ask Brother Francois, let me come and close us in prayer, please, brother. And then we have the deacons want to give some announcements. Gathering here this morning, that you shall make our hearts your dwelling place, that you shall dwell inside of us. When we walk, we may walk like it. When we speak, we may speak like it. When we act, we may act like it. Father, forgive our foolishness, Father. Our shortcomings, our trespass, Father. Our baby ways, Father.
We ask you, Father, that you shall bring us to maturity, Father. Because the purpose you call us, Father, to bring us the adoption of the children of God, Father. We know, Father, you can't do a half work. The prophet tells us that you only do a complete work, Father. You're the one that call us, you will bring us unto the destination, Father. Not by our own power, but by the Spirit, said the Lord. So, Father, we ask you, Father, that let never us be the same way we enter this place, Father. We know, Father, that is not the building, Father, that make the difference, Father. It's you in us, Father. That's why we could feel it today, Father, that the same good God that was at with us in Mill Street, Father, is the same God that is moving with us now, Father. And we thank you because you say you will never forsake us and you will never leave us, Father. And we can experience your presence in the preaching of the word, Father, in the worship, Father, that you are the same yesterday, today, and forever, Father. But we ask you, Father, it's a closer walk with thee, Father. A life that is completely surrendered unto thee, Father. That you're going to have a preeminence in each of us' life, Father. That you're going to be number one in our life, Father. Father, that we will be like David, Father, that who desire to be a dormant in the house of the Lord, Father. That is our desire, Father, that to dwell with thee, Father. That to dwell in thy presence, Father. Because we know that in thy presence, all good things happen, Father. And we believe that this morning, Father, many good things have happened, Father.
Amen.
And you have changed the inside of our heart, Father. Oh, Father, we know you know the number of our head. You know, oh, Father, our request, Father, and the spoken one, Father.
Amen.
Those who are sick, Father,
Amen. They
come to the prayer line this morning, Father. And we know your name is Jehovah Rapha, the Lord who heals all our diseases, Father. And the prophet tells us when he saves someone, Father, and you heal him also from the sickness of the body, Father. Oh, Father, this morning we remember our sister, Sister Juliet, Father. And the scripture says, Father, that by your strength, Sister Juliet is healed, Father. Father, we confess the healing in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let the angel of the healing, Father, visit her where she is, Father, and minister something special, Father. At the end of this service, Father, we shall receive a good report, oh Father, and hearing that our sister is all once again, Father. Father, not because of the one who pray, but because of the one who made the promise, Father. And we are faithful to make your promise true, Father.
Amen.
We ask you, Father, that you shall touch all of us, Father, spiritually and physically, financially, Father. And we know, Father, you, Jehovah Jireh, who provide to our need, Father. Provide to our need because you are our only hope and our only trust, Father. We trust and we believe in thee, Father, that you are the reward who diligently, or who reward those who diligently seek thee. Father, we all of us in this place seek you diligently. That's why you reward us with a place to worship you, Father.
Yes.
We thank you for this place, Father. Oh, Father, we never take it for granted, Father.
Amen.
Because we should be different places. But you provide a place for us that we shall come together as the bride of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the word show us, oh, Father, how powerful message we have received. How powerful revelation we have received, Father. That we could see ourselves, Father, through a man that didn't have education. That you could present this thing fully to us. That we can understand why the temple of Solomon, Father, that was cut with different stone. That brought from different place, Father. That we can see ourselves, Father, in this place, Father, as in the temple of Solomon, Father. We come from different background, Father, different language, different color, oh Father, but you all ordained us to be together, Father. Oh Father, for that unity of the Spirit, oh, Father, that you shall manifest yourself in a special way in this place, oh, Father. We believe that you, the one who brought us together, Father, you brought us with one purpose, Father, to save thee, Father, to witness about you walk, Father, in this Iceland of Ireland, Father.
Amen.
We want to be that bride, Father, that minister unto thee, Father.
Please.
Help us to reach where you want us to be, Father. Bless us, Father. Bless the pastor, Father, that has laid himself aside to seek a message, Father, that will comfort, that will bring us, Father, higher, to the higher ground, Father, amen, that we can see our place, oh Father, in this building, Father, that yourself has started, Father. Amen. Because we know that no man could stand here if you didn't call us, Father. Because you call us, because yet you says, no man can come unto thy Father except come unto thee except the Father draw him unto thee, Father. Amen. Father, you have drawn us, oh Father, unto Christ, and we thank you for that, Father. And we never cease to thank you for what you did for us. Because when we were in sin and trespassed, Father, you have taken us away from that world, Father. Amen. And you have bring us to the message of the hour, Father. We thank you because we are not, oh Father, what we used to be, Father.
Yes.
Though we are aiming a higher calling in Christ, and we know that you will lead us there, Father.
Yes.
Father, the remaining of the week, we want to commit it unto thee, Father.
Yes.
With the weekend services, Father, we want to commit them at thy hand, Father.
Yes.
That you shall minister with us, Father. That the same spirit that started with us today, Father, the liberty of the spirit, Father, that we could worship you freely today, Father, let the same spirit continue with us, Father, that we may worship you in this place, Father, with liberty, Father. We may worship you in this place, Father, with joy of thy salvation, Father, that you shall manifest in a special, Father, way, Father. Father, our way sometimes can't express, Father, what is in outside, Father.
Amen.
And the prophet tell us with this young guy that didn't know how to write. He didn't know, oh Father, how to compose a phrase, Father.
Amen.
But he give unto you the ABC, Father.
Yes.
That you shall compose all the phrase.
Yes.
And everything that needed from his heart, Father.
Amen.
That you shall be able, Father, to manifest yourself in a special way, Father.
Yes.
That together with the brethren, Father, in this place, Father, we want to put our faith together, Father, and to ask you that you may dwell always. It's time when we come in this place, Father, we shall meet with thee, Father.
Amen.
It shall not be a gathering of the people, but it shall be the gathering of the people with the Lord Jesus Christ, Father.
Amen.
Because your presence in our midst to make the difference, Father.
Amen.
We want you to be with us, Father, and we want you to minister to our need, Father.
Amen.
Not only ministering to our need, but to change our life, Father.
Amen.
To change our inside, Father,
yes,
that we may be able to reflect the life of the gospel, Father.
Yes.
Bless us, Father. And we commit all at thy hands.
Yes.
In the wonderful name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
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 Something I'll say about this business is this building is warmer than I have. We have to put something in. It's good we moved here when it's coming to winter. But I think by summer we're going to have to make a plan because it's so warm. Let's sing that song. Higher ground, don't you want higher ground? As we hand over to his Bible, we can come and make up. Let's sing. Higher ground, God bless you, as you dismiss.